The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
I'm joined in the studio by comedian Rachel Galvo ahead of the final run of her hit tour. Rachel, you're very welcome to the programme. Lovely
Thank
to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me, Claire.
It's called The Shite Feminist.
It is.
The tour.
It is.
Why?
I got to acting school in London when I was 24 and we had to read all about feminism. And I realised I have been a shite feminist my whole life. And I don't blame myself. It wasn't a very popular word with the nuns. Shock horror. Do you know what I mean? Feminism. I was raised in, you know, an all-girls private Irish Catholic school, raised by the nuns for 15 years. And I knew nothing about feminism. And now, don't worry, the show is not.
But you thought you did.
Oh, I did. Well, I thought feminism was the loonies on Grafton Street screaming free the nipple. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what I thought it was. And I thought it was just extremities. But then, yeah, I know it's, I think it can sound like the show is one big lecture. It absolutely isn't. It's just about, you know, a kind of coming of age story growing up in kind of Catholic Ireland as a girl.
So tell me about the comedy career, because it is relatively new. Is that fair to say?
Yes. And I had such a backwards way of going into it because I started online. I basically, like, my first time on stage was to basically a sold out audience. So it wasn't in the clubs, which is how you're supposed to start. You're supposed to start with a 5 minute set and then a 10 minute set and you build up to 60 minutes and then you, you know, put a show on sale. But because I had started on TikTok and Instagram, I basically went straight into doing a tour, which was crazy.
It sold out, did it? Like,
it did. It
facing
did.
A full room in your
like
first,
oh my. 10 seconds, I know.
See, the fear, I'd find that too much, but obviously not for you.
I think going to drama school and stuff, and it doesn't feel totally like, you know, it didn't feel like me on stage at the beginning. I put on a character and I put on kind of a cocky, confident character. But then when I got signed with my agency in London, they were like, first step is to go back to basics. And they shoved me into the clubs in Leeds and Liverpool and Oxford. And it's been a great learning curve. It's actually been amazing. At first it was like, oh, why isn't this a room full of 400, you know, Irish girls? That's my audience that I'm used to. But then I had to work it out. Mm-hmm. And now I just have so much fun.
Yeah, I was reading an interview where you said with stand-up, there's loads of like unsaid things that you have to learn that I just wouldn't understand, I would assume, if you even tried to explain it to me. Like, what are those things?
Oh gosh, I say so many things and I don't
You were talking about the support that you've had from some of the established comedians who sort of helped you to learn how to do it, essentially.
There's just like, I hadn't a clue. And people learn being on the circuit, you know, what certain clubs are like, what certain bookers are like, what time you're actually supposed to show up. Mm. You never make fun of another comedian. I never would, but like there's stuff like that people do apparently. And you know, you're supposed to, you know, even if it's going badly, you never reference the fact that it's going badly in a club. You know, stuff like that at the beginning where I was just like, this isn't going well. Gosh, to a stag do in Oxford.
I feel the fear because like looking at a lot of your stuff online, it's based around the caricatures that we see here, the South Dublin mummy and all of that. So how does that work in the UK? Because
it's very different.
Do they get it?
Well, I do different kind of comedy when I'm doing my sets around the UK. So that's more about kind of being an Irish person in London and very, very original, Claire. I'm not sure anyone's ever heard. But, you know, that's why people talk about it. It's because it's relatable. And I, you know, I talk about the expectations versus reality of moving to London. There's nobody more patriotic than an Irish person who's left Ireland, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And they like that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? But when I do my own shows, honestly, the audience is all Irish, even if it's in Manchester, London. It's just a couple hundred Irish
still
people.
Oh, yeah. Irish people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I just did three Soho Theatre shows there. And there was a few Aussies, New Zealand, Scottish, but mainly brought by Irish people, yes.
It's exciting though, isn't it, when you start to see your audience expand as well.
A few lads came by themselves, like not with a girlfriend. For the first time, this show's been on for like 18 months. And I was shocked. And, you know, some of them even texted me after saying, that was actually bearable. That was actually all right. And I was like, wow, God, I feel like I've got approval.
And the London life then, because I saw the sketch that you did about the yoga teacher upselling, you know, to go to the 8 grand plus the other 8 grand retreat where you get no food. Like, is life very different in London, do you find? Or how have you settled in?
Do you know what? I was literally just saying this to the taxi driver on the way here. I've been there for 4 years and I think it took me 3 years to settle in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think initially when Irish people move over, they're like, I don't know if I like it. And I'm like, give it a chance, because it's not one big city. I think it's loads of cities in one, and you just have to find your pocket and your community and your tribe. And I'm so lucky that so many of my friends live there. But yeah, life is different. Cheaper is life is different. It's just huge, and everyone wants to kind of make it in their field, and everyone's at the top of their field. And
the pace is different, isn't it?
It is
full on. Like, it really is full on, and you have to do a lot of selling, you know.
Yeah, you have kind to of hustle. Feel like an idiot if you're just sat still watching a movie or something. You're like, I could be doing something more here.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're self-employed, it's just like every minute I'm not doing something, I'm wasting.
How do you deal with that pressure? Because I would find that tricky to deal with. But you obviously, that's your thing, because you're in this business where you have to keep pushing, right?
I know. To be honest, like, it's awful. I do always have my phone on hand, and I'm kind of, you can't, it's interesting, you can't just be creative. Like, with the sketches, people always wonder, do I kind of write out my scripts and stuff? I don't. It often happens if I'm just like out with my friends for dinner and we're laughing about something. That's when I'll feel, that's really funny, and I'll just whip out the phone and film it. So it's kind of always at the back of my mind, like, that's a funny thing, and put that in the notes app and film that, you know?
And again, going back to what I was looking at online, so do you really believe that Irish mammies are like so forgiving when it comes to their boys, and that their daughters get such a hard time?
I don't think it's just Irish. I have friends who said it was the same with Italian mummies, and I, you know, it's obviously a caricature. It's like, it's obviously...
I was doing some self-examination when I was watching
these. But this is why I do it, Claire. This is important. It's all the mums in the comments being like, this is me. And I know it gets sent around the mums. My age group for my Christmas shows went up to the mum's age group. And I had so much more fun with that, because mums brought their daughters and they brought their mothers, and there was lots of generations there. So it was really nice to connect with that age group as well. Mm,
yeah.
Really, really nice.
Yeah. I think most of us would probably say there's a little grain of truth in it.
Of course. I'm sure it wouldn't be a topic of conversation if it wasn't.
So what happens now? I mean, I know you had great success at the Edinburgh Fringe. Uh-huh. You've done all those gigs that you mentioned. You're back here, and I'll give people the dates now in just a moment. But what does the rest of the year look like for you?
So I just had a call with my editor last week, and I've done it the proper way this time, in that I've been gigging three or four nights a week in London, trying new material in front of different crowds. And you'll have your notebook there and you'll record it, and some jokes will go really well and some jokes won't, and some topics will, you know, hit home and some won't. And so you go home after show and you say, okay, put all these together. And then with my editor, I'll say, here are all the topics that I want to talk about that have been going really well. And then I'll put a show together. I'm going to the Edinburgh Fringe this year in August.
Sorry, but you'll have to explain that to me. There's like an editor, like a comedy editor. Is that how it works?
Yeah, sometimes if you're writing a full show, it's just kind of a bird's eye view. And he'll be like, okay, well, why don't you talk about that part in front of that part?
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, because
you have that help there, you know, somebody else's brain.
But it's just me all the time. And it's so funny. You can sit down for hours and a day and think, that's really funny, and write a whole thing. And then you get up in front of an audience and it's just down the toilet. Like, it's just awful. So it's important sometimes to have someone being like, and it hurts your feelings, of course, when you're like on the Zoom call telling all these jokes and these stories and it's just a blank face.
No,
it's
not
just,
good.
It's important, though. It's important. It's kind of an audience perspective.
So it's a busy year for you. I'm going to tell people where they can see you in the next little while. So the tour begins in Dolan's in Limerick on the 6th of May. Then Galway, Wexford, Killarney, Portlaoise and Donegal. I mean, that is zigzagging and zipping around. Then Belfast, Limelight One in Belfast on the 25th of May. And then there's a new show which has recently been announced in The Ambassador on the 22nd of May.
Yeah.
You're looking forward to that one, I can see.
I love it. I just did five shows there at Christmas, and it's just like, it's Dublin, do you know? And the references, I usually go about 30 minutes over because I'm just pulling out all these Dublin references. But I love it. It's just, I'm really grateful for my audience. It's just the best night ever.
Listen, continued success to you. It's a really exciting path, and this will be a great year. I know. Rachel, thanks so much. It was lovely to meet you. That's Rachel Galva. We'll take a break.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.